Thanks, I think, Luke. It is good to be here, and I'll just reiterate, welcome everybody. It is good to have you here because we need you. We need each other, and that's the topic of today's talk. The elders have asked me to talk with you about accountability, which sounds like a terrible word, but I want to unpack that today and perhaps make it a little bit less scary of a thing. It is good to see people grow up in the church, and yeah, I do remember Luke when he was a lot younger, and it's great to see his growth, and obviously we've been here a while and seen a lot of you grow. Anybody here for the first time? You say, yay, here for the first time, good, welcome, great to have you here. Anybody been here for just on 5 years? Maybe, yeah, great. Great to have you here for 5 years. I just want to introduce or reintroduce to you an old friend. Hopefully this works. An old friend. What is this? Yeah, it's not COVID, it's a picture of COVID, just over 5 years ago, we got introduced, didn't we, to COVID, and I want you to just be reflecting about your life, maybe just before COVID, if you can remember that far back, like what life was like before COVID, and perhaps how your attitudes and behaviours have changed since COVID. Like it or not, we've all changed. And maybe not because of COVID, but COVID brought out some things in us that were there beforehand. Some things are good, but most of it's not quite so good. In particular, I just want you to think about what your attitude was to church, or to God, and to church pre-COVID, and what it's like now. And because we can't say we've been unaffected by it, and it really has changed. As you think about that, I want you to think about in general in the community, a big impact that COVID has is on community groups and sports groups and so on. And obviously during COVID, participation rates in sports groups and so on dwindled, and obviously the church participation rates just dropped away hugely. And that was, you know, mandated because we couldn't meet together. But even after we were allowed to meet together, things just rose back up gradually. But participation rates are sort of back at pre-COVID levels. People talk about pre-COVID levels. And in sports groups, community groups, and almost this church, participation rates are back to where they used to be. But one thing that's changed quite a bit, I'll just talk about sports groups. The New Zealand Amateur Sport Association reports that volunteer rates, so not participation rates, but volunteer rates, have almost halved since pre-COVID. So the average club used to have 31 volunteers, now has 18. I'm involved in a local athletics and running club, and this is true for us. Our membership numbers are back to where they were, but volunteers are very hard to find. For athletics in summer, it's like dragging blood out of a stone to try and get volunteers. And this is put, just put strain on the volunteers that are left, right? So everybody else has to work much harder, they're at much more risk of burnout and so on. The same is true of our church. Participation rates are there, but volunteer numbers are way down. Why? Why should that be so? I mean, a running club doesn't have an eternal, significant, almighty purpose that the church does. The church stands distinct from all those other clubs and community groups that it should be the last place on earth that is struggling for volunteers. And yet, we find that the work of the church is falling on fewer and fewer people. This morning, I want to give two good reasons why we should be thinking and behaving as though our faith journey is not just about me and God. It sometimes feels like that because we make a decision for Christ and it's something that we feel as though we've made ourselves. So it's me and God. But actually when we are born again, we are born again into a family and it actually becomes us and God. Two good reasons. So the first one is more of an anecdotal one and not strictly from the Bible. I will get to our Bible passage soon. In the mid-2000s, a survey of over 1,000 churches, North American churches, albeit, were surveyed. So 1,000 churches, and most of them were actually surveyed twice. So once and then another time a little way after. And the attendees of those churches were surveyed about all aspects of their spiritual behaviour. Sounds like a scary thing to fill out, but their beliefs, their personal spiritual practices, their lifestyle behaviours such as giving, and church attendance, as well as their service, evangelism, and mission. And the authors of that survey, of the survey results, neatly summarise the spiritual state of churchgoers into four stages. So it's not really putting people into a box because it's about a continuum, but they sort of neatly said, well, these four sorts of stages, and here they are, from exploring Christ, so you might be at church wanting to get to know about Christ, to growing in Christ, you've begun a relationship with him, to close to Christ, and the fourth stage being Christ-centered. For example, they describe being close to Christ as people for whom Jesus is a daily reality. People who are close to Christ are confident in God's presence and power. Jesus is a part of their everyday life. They are growing spiritually in measurable ways. That's as an example of close to Christ. The authors of this survey noted that, I hope you can read that, the catalyst for moving through, for going to the right, to growing in Christ, were these issues, such as their beliefs, obviously, about God. So what you believe affects your spiritual journey. Your attitude to the Bible, and what place the Bible has in your life, their understanding of their identity in Christ, and last but not least, their surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And these issues are much the same as we've been covering in the past 4 or 5 weeks on how we follow Jesus. The authors also found that there was one activity, one thing that people did that correlated with their spiritual growth. So when they went back and surveyed the churches again for the second time, had the people in that church moved to the right? And assuming they had, what had been the things that people who had moved to the right had done versus what the people who sort of had stayed still, what had they not done, if that makes sense? So what is a distinguishing activity of people who move to the right, who grow in their spiritual journey, versus those who don't? And there were lots of things, but this one stands out as the most important, that they serve those in need with others in their church. Now, this struck me as really amazing, and I do want to stress it's not, so it's a correlation. So it's not necessarily a cause and effect. The other interesting thing on the survey was it didn't matter what part of the spiritual continuum you were on. So whether you were exploring Christ or you were Christ-centered, the main thing that would affect your spiritual growth was whether you were serving those in need with others in your local church. Isn't that amazing? So there's good reason if your spiritual life is stalled or in first gear, to get involved. It's very similar to our running club in that people who run by themselves find it hard to run by themselves week in and week out. And if you want to improve your running, run with other people. And it's the same for our spiritual journey. If you want to be closer to Christ, then this survey suggests serving with other people, those in need, is a way to do that. And of course, we do know that Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to go on to our passage now, which supports this idea and perhaps is a bit more foundational to this idea that as how we follow Jesus is together as a community. When we become disciples, the Bible says we become a member of a large body of believers, and we're called to live in this community. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, there is over 50 instances of one another or each other. We are to love one another, to instruct one another, to encourage one another, to offer hospitality to one another. 15 times, instruct one another, encourage one another, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 15 times, that's the most common one, we're told to love one another or love each other. The next most repeated one another is to greet one another with a holy kiss, which is something I know Gavin Pullinger and I both take very seriously. And we would both say that should be interpreted in a cultural context. Where did all these one another's come from? Why did Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, and Peter repeat this phrase so often? Is there something, and here it is, this is the something that ties all these one another's together. There's perhaps two foundational passages in the Bible about the church being a body, the body of Christ. And I've chosen this passage in Ephesians, so you can turn to that now. Because after this slide, I will be referring back to it and won't come back to it, so you can follow along. Paul writes to the Ephesians about their heritage in Christ in the first three chapters of Ephesians, and how their heritage or their identity in Christ should direct our life in Christ. And that's the final three chapters. And first up, it's how our life with other believers should be. So Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Right. Now's your opportunity to take your little note paper and note down the so what's. And I've given them all here at once, so you can write ahead if you like. What are some of the things that we can learn from this passage? The first one is that our life in the body, in the church, is a gift. That is, it's a good thing. It's by God's grace. And we know that every gift that God gives is a good gift. It's not a trap. And it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be like giving your father a shovel for his birthday. That's not really a gift, is it? It's like, here, Dad, here's something to make you work. No, Dad wants a power tool, right? Something that's fun, enjoyable. It's the same with these. Every gift he has given us, and it is good. It is to be enjoyed. Second thing is that every gift is a result of the gospel. That is, Jesus descended to earth, he led an exemplary life, he was crucified, buried, ascended to heaven. As a result, God imparts to us special powers to serve each other. These are spiritual gifts and not some afterthought that you find at the bottom of your Christmas stocking. No, they're precious gifts. They were bought for you at great price. Have a think about how you behave when you get like just an extra lolly at the bottom of your Christmas stocking, or you get something that is a very special gift. Third thing is God has given us these gifts in order to fill the whole universe with his glory. Last time I spoke, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, we learned about the Tower of Babel, about how God scattered the people so that they would fill the earth with God's glory. Well, now it goes one further. It goes to the whole universe. God is filling the whole universe. And that is the reason that he gives us these gifts, so that we would fill the whole earth with his glory. Next thing. Everyone has at least one. Some people have more. Verse 7 says, to each one of us. We all have something to serve with. It's not like you're last to be picked for the team. Everybody has something special. To serve others and to serve those in need. The list of spiritual gifts that was in this passage is not a limit. They are examples. You can't say that just because you're not an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or a teacher, that you're somehow excluded from getting a present. Everybody, no matter what stage you're at on that continuum, you need to be born into the family. Everybody has a gift to share. Spiritual gifts are to prepare us all for acts of service. So this is the fifth point. That is, we serve others to help others serve. So it sort of goes round and round. We serve others to help others serve. And that's how the church builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Another thing is that Paul puts an end condition on serving one another. When do I not need to serve one another? Well, he says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. So when that happens, we can stop. Okay? That is, keep doing this until further notice. Finally, but not least, the church is the body of Christ. We are the bones, the muscles, the organs, the ligaments and tendons, the insides and the outside of the presence of Christ in the whole universe. It's down to us and it's up to us. Just as that picture shows, we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Where am I in the body of Christ? Who is depending on me? Who needs me to do my bit? And hopefully you've got the point now that we all need each other. And we all need each other to volunteer and to step up and do our part. So I want you now to reflect on these things. Take out your piece of paper again, if you still got that. Note down really, what's God saying to you right now about your service, your state in the body, and your place in the church? Here are some suggestions. Things you can do today, this morning, before you leave. Examine my own attitude to my place in the body of Christ. Just take a moment now to ask the Holy Spirit to talk to me, to you, about serving. And that's a key part that I've put pray there. So pray and ask God to speak to you and just wait and listen. The best way to serve at Raleigh Street, maybe not the best way, but a very, very, very good way, is to be involved in at least one small group or ministry group. This gathering that we have on a Sunday morning can be really hard to do these one another and each other's. But a home group, a small group, is a much better place where you can pray for each other, support one another, encourage each other, do life with one another, be honest and open and vulnerable with each other, that you really can't do in this large setting. Join a small group. I'm sure we have a list of small groups, of home groups, do we? We have a, if you want to join, just ask the person next to you, and if they don't know, ask the person next to them, what are the home groups or small groups that I could join? Just remind you, it's like running by yourself. It's really hard to do. Can't do it. It's a lot more fun to run with someone else. Second thing, have a go. Sign up. This church has many vacancies at present. I'm sorry to tell you, and it's really not really that funny. Have a go. Try something different. There's plenty of needs. Perhaps you want to pick up a new skill or learn something new. Well, a church should be the most supportive environment you'll ever come across to pick up something new. If you can wave your hands in the air, then you can paint. And I'm sure there'll be somebody who will teach you how to paint or direct you if that really isn't your thing. Service groups like Ministry of Works have dwindled quite a bit since COVID. Another suggestion is to maybe make your small group a ministry group. That is, make your home group a ministry group, or make your ministry group like a small group. As in, don't think of your service group, if your Ministry of Works, as just, hey, we're serving other people. How do you serve each other? How do you pray for each other and grow each other? Same thing if you're in a home group. How can your home group actually serve either the church or the wider community? Final point there. God may have blessed you with a perfectionist attitude, and to you things don't seem quite right. And things could be better. And well done for recognizing that. But instead of complaining or criticizing, please take this as a suggestion to pray about that thing. Pray for the person who is involved already with that thing. Perhaps it's... No, I dare not make a suggestion. Because that person who is already doing that thing is already doing their best. And then after you've prayed and figured it out, maybe offer to help. Supposed to be a list of practical suggestions linked to your reflection on Ephesians chapter 4. That's the end. We've had 5 weeks now covering how we follow Jesus. You may have missed some because it was school holidays, and so but there they are. We started off with authenticity. Then Nick talked to us about discipleship and a lot about the word disciple and what that means. Life talked to us about the gospel. And that message we heard from Murray last week on missions and how we need to be missional, and together we are accountable to each other. This is how we roll at Raleigh Street, and just reflect on those things. What has been the most important thing for you to take out of this series? We really pray that you've moved to the right. This has helped you on your spiritual journey. I'm going to quickly pray and then we're going to share communion. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift, or this range of gifts that you've given us, that you have included us to be part of your body. Lord, help us to see these opportunities to serve each other and to serve those in our community as a loving gift, as a great opportunity to give them and us joy, and to bring us closer to you, both individually and together. Just pray for us all now as we reflect on these things. Help us, Lord, to put some of these things into practice. Keep talking to us, Lord, about how we can grow closer to you and worship you and spread your name and your glory throughout the whole world and indeed the whole universe. Amen.